but I too want to say just in a moment how very grateful I am to all of the friends who've been so gracious and kind and received us again so warmly to this lovely island. It's been a delight to be here. And I'm so glad that I was here with my wife so that she too could enjoy the blessings not only of the island, but of the conference. Let's turn together. I hope she's going to remember that I'm dignified. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15, shall we? Please. Luke chapter 15. And you know this chapter so well. I want to talk about some lost things. And just before I came out, very deliberately, I picked up the second section of the newspaper for Saturday. And I looked for lost things. On the very first page, I discovered that in December 1945, the Navy sent out 5 planes. And guess what happened? They lost them. And 45 years afterwards, they just found them. At least some salvors have found them, and now there's an argument as to whom they belonged. I turned over the second page, and I found there that a Spanish museum had lost a Rubens. That's a painting worth millions of dollars, and that is quite some loss. I went to my third page, and I read about a little girl 9 years of age who met with an accident in her play yard at school, went into a coma for 13 days, and lost her life. There are degrees, you know, of loss. The poet put it this way, to lose your wealth is much. To lose your health is more, but to lose your soul is such a loss as nothing can restore. We all lose things. In fact, when I came in at the door here, I glanced around and found that I had lost my wife. So I sat down beside our brother here, and then I thought better about it and looked around, and lo and behold, she was 2 rows behind me. So I went and sat down in front of Brother Lee, and he leaned forward and said, I was getting worried about you. I was praying for you. I thought you two must have had a fight. By the way, I understand that some of you ladies want to know whether she's my second wife. I'm not going to satisfy you. Yes, I will. I came to this country when I was 29. I met her in Hamilton, Ontario, when she was playing the piano, accompanying her father, who was a very high tenor singer. And within 2 weeks, I fell in love with her. And before I went back to England, I married her and took her home with me. Don't tell anybody. But she was 17. Now, that's too young. Girls, that's too young to get married. Turned out okay for us. Now, you see, I'm an old man, and she can look after me. Did you find Luke chapter 15? I'm not going to read the whole of this chapter. I don't need to, because you know this story, verse 3. And Jesus spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Look at verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle or a lamp, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Now go a little further down, verse 11. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Let's go to number 20, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Lost things. How many times have you read this chapter and thought about the lost sheep and the lost silver and the lost son? In my day school back in England, I learned the story of the prodigal son. I had to memorize it. I'm sorry that in American schools it's absolutely forbidden and quite unlawful to have a child read the scriptures, quote the scriptures, or have anything to do with prayer. Isn't that a tragedy? No wonder you read what you read about the United States of America and see the evidences of decay setting in that land. And that's a very sad thing, for it is a wonderful country in which to live. But I don't know whether you have ever noticed that the list of lost things does not begin with the lost sheep. Would you look at the end of chapter 14? It's verse 34. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now that's where the list of lost things begins. So we have a lost favor, we have a lost sheep, we have a lost son, we have a lost piece of silver. Now don't call that the story of the lost coin. I don't believe the piece of silver was a coin. Lost favor, lost sheep, lost silver, and a lost son. But the list of lost things doesn't end with the lost son. Let's take a look at chapter 16, verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. So the list grows. A lost favor? A lost sheep? The lost silver? The lost son? And now, a lost stewardship. But that is still not the end. Go a little further down, chapter 16, and you will find in verse 19 these words. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. Now this is the end of the list of lost things, and this, of course, is the lost soul. So there are six of them, and the Spirit has given these six to us in a very significant order. Because if you will look at them, you will find that the six things fall into two groups. And they do so alternately. On one hand, there is the lost favor, and then there is the lost sheep. Over here, there is the lost silver, and then there is the lost son. Back here, there is the lost stewardship, and finally, the lost soul. Because God, through the first trio, would speak to the believer, and through the second trio would speak to the sinner. Let me just very quickly point out some things to you that we find here. Look at the first trio, the salt that lost its flavor. Now you know, because you're fishermen, that salt is a preservative. And don't you realize that's exactly because a preservative is a means of saving what the Christian is meant to be. When God saved you, he did not just save you in order to make you safe for heaven. We have just been hearing about a call, a commission, and about our need to be committed to it. When God saved you, he intended that you should become a means of saving others, that you should reach out to the lost, and that your heart should be so burdened that the tears flow down your cheeks when you think of the consequences that lie before the sinner that dies outside of Christ. Yes, the salt is a preservative, which is a means of saving. The silver, which is not a coin, but I'll explain to you in a moment what I believe it to be, it is actually an ornament. And as such, it is a means of delighting. And that's exactly what the believer is meant to be. A means of delighting the heart of God. If God does not find delight for his heart among his people, where is God going to go to look for it? We were talking about worship and thinking about how much it means to God when the believer comes and says, "Lord, I didn't come to ask you for a thing. I just came to tell you how much I love you." That's what delights the heart of God. And then the steward, because a stewardship is a service, is a means of enriching. And once more, the believer, who's meant to be a means of saving, and a means of delighting is meant to be a means of enriching. Whatsoever ye do, the scripture says, do it all to the glory of God. And we've reminded you that there is nothing that you can give to God. God has no needs that you can fulfill. And yet you can make him richer if through your life, the things that you say and the things that you do, he is glorified. When you come to the second trio, you have a sheep, and you have a son, and you have a soul. Now the sheep is lost in the wilderness, whither it wandered. And I think that this is something like the little boy or the little girl. The sheep saw something attractive and wandered off from the flock and from the shepherd, and eventually, without knowing it,